I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to have to throw some darts at the board, I think, this morning, but they're all good darts. Because there's three things that I feel God has instructed me to share with this audience. By the way, be here at 6:30 this evening. Evangelist David King's going to be ministering tonight. God's used him in a very special way. And he certainly has been a blessing to this house and for a long time. And be here at 6:30 this evening. I'm looking forward to it. Praise God. We may just tag team when I get through this morning. Just stay here till 6:30. Who knows? But it's an exciting day. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping endureth for a night. That's real. But it's dated. It's a time period. But joy comes in the morning. That's a word for me. That's a word for you. That's a word for all here this morning or wherever this service may go. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Acts the 8th chapter, verse 8. The Bible said that when the gospel was preached in that city in Samaria, or the city of Samaria, there was great joy in that city. You know, it's a rare thing, and you do find some things interwoven. You have to search for it. But the news today does not bring great joy, even when it's factual news, because often it's reporting the misfortunes of others or what they're finally calling terrorism up in Boston or whatever is happening, or unfortunately is that which happened here in Texas, the great explosion. There's three things that God wants you to have. Let me just start throwing some darts at the board because I want to be sure all three come in. God's will for us, for you, for me, for this church, is for us to release. It's in us if we'll just release it, because Jesus said, I give unto you my very own personal joy. Somewhere in your Holy Ghost computer bank, somewhere in the Holy Ghost storage area of your life, the joy of the Lord is, get me out of here. I want out. I want to manifest. I'm bigger than the news you're hearing. I'm bigger than the things that are happening to you. I'm bigger than what people are saying. I'm bigger than some things you're, let me out. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Simple analogy, an absence of the joy of the Lord is our weakness. So maybe if we've been experiencing too much weakness, we need to turn the switch of faith on the inside and know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Something I have to learn and relearn over the years. You can't let the spirit of coming against the things we come against, but you can't let the spirit of that overwhelm you in the process of overcoming evil. I said something as significant as I've ever said in my life or ministry. In the process of doing what's right, believing what's right, striving for what's right. We had an example just this morning. I mean, you could absolutely worry yourself into a premature grave if you did not keep yourself in the arena of faith. If I were to ask for a show of hands, and I'm not going any further with it, I wonder how many have seen an actual enacting of what abortion... Don't lift your hand. I'm not putting anybody on the spot. Have you seen actually what this thing is all about, and then late-term abortion? I wonder how many have seen that. I'll guarantee you that those that have seen it, you have a heart of stone if you don't have some pangs of conscience. We haven't seen it, so it doesn't bother us. You know, we haven't seen the gory side of this thing, so we just say, well, it's just one of those things, and you can't change it. But you see, at the same time, you could let the grief of that destroy you if you're not careful. The grief of terrorism, the terrible things of little children being, their lives being maimed and destroyed. You could be so overwhelmed standing against what is wrong that that begins to infect your spirit. And I'm telling you, church, Satan is out to destroy the joy of the Lord in every one of our lives that will let him do it. We cannot, we must not. God help us to not let negativisms and the things that we're dealing with, even the things that, I mean, things that are wrong. It's not that you condone them, but don't let the sorrow, am I communicating? Don't let the sorrow of what is wrong overwhelm your spirit that is right. Don't let the sorrow of what is wrong in our world or in your neighborhood or in your family. And sometimes wrong things happen around the church. And it's been strange, some of the things that we've dealt with. I thought we'd never see some of those things again, but human nature is still alive. But you know, I have a new grip in my heart. Satan is not going to steal my joy. He's not going to steal the joy of this church. He's not going to steal the joy of those that look to this house as their house of spiritual inspiration. 1993, one of the great things that happened was not giddiness. It was not just, you know, people called it a laughing revival. Not so. But dear God, we can get so serious serving God, we can lose the joy. We can get so bummed out about what's wrong. You know, you can go out to a rough neighborhood and get all under what that's all about. You've got to go out there on a higher plane than they are. You've got to go out with the joy of the Lord. You've got to go out with something bigger than what you're dealing with, or it'll overwhelm you. It will literally eat you up alive. I remember when I went to India. David Grant was here. He and his wife were here several months ago. And we went to India with him a number of years ago. And he said something to me. He's a funny little guy. He's just very direct. He said, "Now, Nichols, I'm going to tell you something." I said, and he was a veteran of missions in India. He said, "You're going to see some things in Calcutta. If you don't get a grip on yourself, you'll be worthless in coming to this city." He said, "There are preachers that get off the plane, one of the few that comes in here, and go to the one half-decent hotel that at that time, I understand things are better there now, and go to the only half-decent hotel. And there are ministers that catch the next flight out of here because they can't stand the smell, they can't stand the lepers in the streets, they can't stand what they came here to do something about." Do you follow what I'm saying? And thank God for the word of that veteran missionary. When I got there, it did not smell good. It did not look good. It was very discouraging in the natural. But I was there for a higher purpose. And he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And you've got to rise to the occasion and not be overwhelmed of why you came to do something about something. Now, church, it's time that it's inside of you, because Jesus himself before Calvary said, "My very own personal joy I give to you." The Son of the living God, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. That's how he made it. He would have died of a broken heart before he ever got to Calvary or to Gethsemane. But, oh, the strength of God was with him. Daily, that's why he would rise early in the morning and cry out to Father God, "Oh, God, not my will, but thy will be done." That prayer was prayed more than once, I believe. great joy. As I look into Acts, the 8th chapter, oh, thank God, this is such a great chapter. Praise God. Such a great, the joy of the Lord. All right, and then I'm going to come back and work on this a little bit more. God wants you to have great, overwhelming joy. Just write it down. God wants us to have, God wants us to live. In spite of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, I will walk in the joy of the Lord. But there's something else that God wants. I'm going to throw the challenge out there. I've got myself challenged on this one. I've got myself challenged on this one. God wants you to purpose to live worry free. You hit me, preacher. You don't understand all I have to worry about. Want to trade? I hope not. Where does it start? Right here while you're sitting in church and your mind's going like a shutter on a camera, thinking about all the negatives that you're going to have to face, or why this message doesn't apply to you. Because your cross is heavier than anyone else's and your burden is heavier than anyone else's. You don't understand who I live with. You don't understand who I work for. You don't understand the world I live in. Want to trade? I thank God I can do what I do, but I do it by faith choice. Now think about it just for a moment. How would this week go? If you put it on the fridge, you wrote it on your Bible, you wrote it on your hand where you write those other notes while I'm preaching. If you said, I will live worry-free or carefree. I will not let it, them, or whatever make me worry. Yeah, that's the world we live in right now. Not the sweet by and by. Young people are worried. And how many times do we hear it on television? Now, here's something else for you to worry about. Here's a strain of flu, or here's something else. Here's something else. I don't need nothing else to worry about. You don't either. I'm telling you the truth. This is real life. God wants us to live with overwhelming, overflowing joy, the joy of the Lord. God wants us to purpose. You've got a purpose to do it, and you've got a repurpose to do it, and you got to get a new grip, and we'll slip, but we don't quit. Just purpose. I've come into this day. I'm amazed at myself. I'm doing so much better. I've purposed to come into this weekend and not worry about anything. Don't you put one on me either. I mean it. Amen. There's so many ways that we take burdens on ourselves. We assume false burdens over things that we cannot change. Only God can change them. I have too much of a pastor's heart for my own good sometimes. I just keep thinking maybe one more thing said is going to change somebody. I've found out nobody's going to change unless they want to change. In beginning, just kind of coming into the 8th chapter of Romans, there were several that changed. Saul of Tarsus. Wouldn't you agree he needed to change? He was killing Christians. That's not good. That's terrible. Saul. And then secondly, there was Simon the sorcerer. He did pray a prayer of accepting the Lord, but then he tried to buy the franchise of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't work. This is not a franchise deal. You can't pay money to heal people or to be filled with the Spirit. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Simon. And Peter said, your money perish with you. This is not a business. It's not a franchise. Amen. And then there was another man. He was the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's riding in his chariot. He's just been to a convention. He saw it on television. Never the same again. Convention. All the leading headline speakers. But he's going home in his turbo chariot to Ethiopia. He's number two in the nation. He's over all of the money of the nation. Anybody over all the money is over power. But he's reading some of the notes that he took in the convention. He said, I don't get it. He couldn't put the dots together. But thank God, there was a man of God by the name of Philip who was not bummed out, discouraged. Said, leave me alone today. God said, go join yourself to that chariot. And he joins himself to the chariot. He said, do you understand? How can I understand? There's no one here to instruct me. And so he explains to him what Jesus is all about. And explained it so thoroughly, he said, well, now, did you explain it? There's some water. Stop the chariot, Mr. Driver. And he got out of the chariot, and Philip baptized him. And, well, I think he did a good job. Boy, I'd like to see everybody go from the inquirer's room to the baptismal. Amen. I'd just like to see that thing busy 24 hours a day. And can you even imagine that a man... He's obviously driving a chariot while others are walking. He's been to the conference that's going to change your life, never the same again. And he's going home. He still doesn't get it. He still doesn't understand it. And there's so many people just roaming around. They don't get it. They don't understand. Sometimes you think, if I hear one, well, I've just been kind of feeling. Boy, when I hear that, I want to get my elephant gun out and just put them out of their misery. Honey, wait until you know. Amen. But that's another thing. But can you even imagine that a man that made the journey to go to a convention where you'll never be the same again, he's listened to the top speakers and he's coming home and saying, man, I'm more confused than when I came to this thing. And a man of God, a spirit-filled man of God by the name of Philip, joins himself to the chariot at the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God, explains it to him, baptizes him in water, and then disappears on him. I love the book of Acts, don't you? I guarantee you, he brought revival back to Ethiopia. I guarantee you, he brought a move of God back to Ethiopia. He had the money to do it. He had the position to do it. He had the respect to do it. Now he's got the goods to do it. Hallelujah. And how many lives have been touched and affected even by this ministry? I hear it all the time. You don't realize all the lives that have been touched. You see, God's joy in us is God's supernatural help to help us live in victory. Philip had that joy. Hallelujah. I said, Philip had that joy. He had that joy. Praise God. So we're talking about God wants you. I know. Just remember, great overwhelming joy. No worries, man. Seemed like I heard that in Australia. No worries, man. I love that. I mean, that's a communication. Yeah. And there's another one I want to get to. But you know, I noticed something else over here in Acts, the 7th chapter and verse 58. They cried with a loud voice, 57. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Well, you know, that's when Stephen was stoned to death. Now let's go to chapter 7, verse 58. I'm going to say something here in just a moment. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. One of those things, you've read the Bible for years and all of a sudden you see it. They laid the clothes at a young man's feet. Praise God. Robbie, come up here. Come up here and stand right here. Dan, come up here and stand right here. David, come up and stand right here. Is Troy in there? Troy, come up. Now, I know I don't want to leave anybody. I want you to turn around. God is touching young men. After every forest fire comes exotic flowers in the midst of the forest. God, you say, what's young? Somebody's younger than I am. You're looking at four, they're not the only ones. But I mean, I saw this in the spirits while I'm doing this. I saw this in prayer last night. You see, every one of these are young men. Different ages, but their ages are very similar. And you know what it's all about? God's going to use all of us. The older need the younger, and the younger need the older. It's all of us together that are going to get the job done. The younger need the experience. They need the longevity. They need they just need some. And we need the zeal of youth. We need that freshness. They laid their clothes. Are you with me? Laid their clothes at a young man's feet. My God, have mercy. But the young man got born again. Or the young man who was holding the clothes. But Saul got born again. Hallelujah. And listen to me. Saul changed. Simon the sorcerer changed. The Ethiopian eunuch changed. And I believe Ethiopia changed. And they changed. So we can change. So you can change. So I can change. Folks, the name of the game is none of us have a franchise on staying where we are. God's calling all of us to change. I am saying something today. Ooh, there's a. You say, well, I've seen it all, heard it all, know it all. No, God's not through with you yet. Amen. And I know everybody wants a prophecy. Well, I'm going all over, and I'm going to start doing it where you are. Start witnessing where you are. Go next door. Go next block. Go next street. Go highways, hedges. Go where you work. Go to the campuses. Start where you shop, where you are. They laid the clothes at a young man's feet. You know, I wished I knew what happened to the young man, but I believe I can prophesy and say that young man was never the same. Woo! And these young men have had the clothes laid at their feet. I can't go any further than that one. I'd be here till 6:30 this evening. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, do you feel the brush of the clothes at a young man's feet? At a young woman's? Have we seen it all, heard it all, or know it all? Is Calvary at a dead-end street? Is it all over? My God, no. And I don't mean that as an expression wrong. We're just beginning to see the outgoing of the clothes at a young man's feet. Okay, you guys can go to your seats. Let's give them a hand clap. There's others. So God wants there to be great, overwhelming joy because it's our strength. Because without it, we get bummed out. We get discouraged about our church. We get to listening to gossip and we get to listening to the naysayers. God wants you to operate in the great overwhelming joy of the Lord that the best is yet to come. God wants us to operate in no worries, man. No worries. No worries. Doesn't have to be that way. I'm working. You want to join my club? We got the Conquerors Club. Listen to the Pastor Nichols Club. The no worries, man. Let's try it for a day. Let's try it. Let's see if we can make it until tonight. Hey! Hallelujah. No worries, man. It's going to be all right. No matter what he say, she say, they say, we say, it's going to be all right. My Lord, if I was Jesus Christ, I'd walk into Janet's bedroom and it'd be all over. Praise God. And if I'm not careful, I've had to be very careful. Now, Joe and I've had to be very careful. You can't let that get on you. You've got to stay in faith. And there's times around that, my Lord, we've come from tornadoes and hurricanes and winds and fires and firestorms and people storms and all the rest of it. But you know, you just got to get a grip on yourself. No worries, man. You got to rise above. You got to rise above. I said, you've got to rise above. Hallelujah. You've got to rise above it. Hallelujah. We've got to rise above it. There's a final one. Got one more for you. Praise God. You're such a good audience. Number three, to live very thankful. Well, things couldn't be worse. Oh, yeah, they can be worse. Yeah. Very thankful. I'm thankful things are as good as they are. I'm thankful things are good. I mean, I have to worry. You say, well, that comes easy for you. No, it doesn't. I'm made out of the same clay you are. It's only the Spirit of God, as I choose to follow that Spirit of God, that makes it work in me just like you. I drink from the same fountain you drink from. I'm human. I bleed. I hurt. I cry. I have feelings. But I can't live on that plane. I do sometime. I do for a little while, but I can't stay there. It'd kill me. I choose to rise to a higher plane. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Make up your mind. I'm going to change. By the grace of God, if nobody in my family changes, I'm going to change. You may be fifth generation bad news bears. I don't know. But you don't have to be like your family. You don't have to be like your family. The bad side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to be like that. You can rise and be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here it is. God wants you to live with great overflowing joy. God wants you to live worry free. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Psalms 37. Fret not thyself. You've got the faith switch on the inside of you. I can't turn your switch on or off, and you can't turn mine on or off. But we can shout together and say, by the grace of God, we are all going to choose to head in the direction of worry free. And then very thankful, very, very thankful. The Bible said unthankful, unholy. You know, when we get unthankful, we get an entitlement spirit. The world owes us a living. People owe me this. You know, nobody owes you nothing. We're blessed to have whatever we have. But when we get all bummed out, then we get that entitlement spirit. Everybody owes me something. Oh, I tell you, oh, there's one that I owe everything to, and his name is Jesus. He's not the bone. He's not the crutch that I walk on. He's the bone in my leg. He is the strength of my life. He's my high tower. Hallelujah. He is my God. Oh, he is my Savior. Oh, thank God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I said the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know how in the world we got those three darts out there, but we did. Praise God. So going back to a thought of number one, God's joy in us is God's supernatural help to live in victory. God's joy in us is God's supernatural help to live in victory. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Overwhelming joy. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Worry free. Not going to let that. This thing's going to send me to a premature grave. Well, that's your fault. God wants you to get a grip and then just be very, very thankful. We sang it. It is amazing how much of the music this morning talks about joy and thankful and all the things that are ours. That young man, I couldn't get away from that young man. I'm not going to stay there, but they laid the clothes at a young man's feet. And I'll tell you, God's laying things at our feet today and saying, are we willing to change? Are we willing to let the joy of the Lord prevail? Are we willing to stop playing the blame game of everyone else, you know, in our life? Are we willing to just let go and let God have his wonderful way? Are we willing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which one of the three do you choose? I choose all three. Overwhelming, overflowing joy. Worry-free. Just start working. When I say start working, I start believing at it. Start turning God loose. If it worries you, it touches the heart of God. Turn it over to the Lord. And three, very, very thankful. Very, very thankful. Very, very thankful. So thankful for two legs to walk in here with this morning. So thankful that I know Jesus. So thankful that out of the millions of people in this world, I know Jesus. My family knows Jesus. So thankful that I get to be the pastor of this church that has touched and reached so many lives. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Just begin to praise Him there. Three things God wants us. There was great joy in that city. That's the product of the Word of God. Now, beginning next, listen to me. I don't know how to communicate. I keep trying to. Revival now is not just for preachers. Revival now is for all of us. And we're going to do it different this year. Brother Rodney's going to come in. He's just taking a special effort and aim and whatever you want to call it. But Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those nights, you say, well, I've got things planned. What do you have planned that's more important than the things of God? Unless you work, I understand that. I mean, folks, the world's on fire. Our city needs Jesus. Thank God for the our attendance is up and we're seeing more people saved. But you know, as a pastor, I don't want to just come and preach at you or have someone else just preach. I want to see a church that's changing. I want to see a church that is thankful and happy and joyous. Amen. You know, for 49 years, we've come through tragedies. We've come through disappointments. We've come through every kind of a cannon shot that hell can fire. But you know what? Our love for this church can go to zero, and we can have a devastating effect on what we should have been a faith person to do. You know, some of you, dear God, you're just on the verge of seeing the breakthrough for what you've been sowing for. We're just on the breakthrough of seeing greater breakthrough, on the verge of seeing greater breakthrough. And I remember even like Brother David Wilkerson, when he was pastor in New York, back years ago, he said to the parents, he said, I need your help to get your children here so we can see their lives change. That was in the youth. They were talking, you know, we're not just doing stuff to put on a program here. Everything, we've got some young efforts, some young strength, some young blood. And you know, we're just getting, I mean, Friday, there was a fire. There was a zeal. There was an anointing. Amen. Brother Tony preached on the rope, was taught on the rope, and it was powerful. Man, I sat there, I thought, this is great. Oh, the strength of our rope is staying tight with one another and going forward in the Lord. And the best is yet to come. So make plans. Let's get in. And these morning sessions, they're for everyone. And we have, I don't think we really understand. There are people that are, do you understand there's people that are coming 20,000 miles round trip because they're hungry for revival? God, wake us up, stir us up. We have a chance to help and to bless, and we need your help. So anyway, praise God. Here we are 49 years. Really, that's no big deal, but it isn't. It's thank God for it. But, oh, I want to see lives changed. I want to see lives touched. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder how many would like to just make a new effort. Overflowing joy, worry-free, very thankful. I wonder if we could just stand. I wonder if you'd just come stand with me and let's just say, Lord, I enlist in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm starting on a new walk with the Lord. And I encourage you, don't forget the walk for life. That's it. Everything we're doing around here is important. Everything we're doing is important. Hallelujah. What do we need to say about new members? That's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night.
We've had many people that have come and asked us.
I know what it's about. I just didn't articulate.
About the church. They want to become a part of the church. They want to become a member of the church. They want to join themselves with the church family. And today, we are opening the church for those who would like to become a part of the Calvary Cathedral International Church family. Now, if everybody can hold steady just for a moment. I know people have things to do, but if you wouldn't mind, give me just a moment, please.
Yeah.
For everyone that desires to become a part of the church family here at Calvary, we're going to be having, it's what we call Covenant Fellowship, or new members, Covenant Fellowship class tomorrow night.
Yes.
That's tomorrow night, Monday night at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall.
In the Fellowship Hall.
Right next to this sanctuary here.
That's
you
important.
Want to become a part of the Calvary Cathedral International Church family tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a Covenant Fellowship class. We'll have refreshments. We'll have some finger foods, and you are at the class. You're going to hear from Pastor Bob Nichols. You're going to hear from Pastor on the vision of the house, what God showed Pastor, what God told and said to Pastor, and why this church was formed and how it is still going forward. You're going to hear from Pastor on the vision of the house. You're going to have an opportunity to hear from the ministry staff and the Ministry of Helps and learn how you can become a part, how you can get plugged in into the Calvary Cathedral International Church family and be blessed. So if you arrived to church on a bus, we already have your names. We already have the names of those people that want to become a part of the church family. But so this call is for all those that do not arrive at church on a bus, but come on your own. So if you arrive at church on your own and you'd like to become a part of the Calvary Cathedral International
Church family, they'll just stay in the front area when we get through praying.
That would be fine. Well, I tell you what, would you mind if you want to become a part of the Calvary Church family, now not those that arrive on buses, but if you come on your own, if you would just raise your hand and let us count you so we'll know how many to expect tomorrow. If you'd raise your hand real high and keep it raised real high just for a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Exciting time. Thank you, Brother Charlie. Praise God.
Raise it high.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
Okay. All right. Now, so tomorrow night, you know, Dan and Ashley and Lori, I don't think we need to distribute those cards.
Okay.
We have a good count. I tell you what we can do. If you raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to become a part of the Calvary Church family, tomorrow night, be sure to be here by 7 o'clock. We're going to start on time. So be here at 7, right next door in the fellowship hall. We'll have a time of fellowship. It's powerful teaching. It will bless you, and it will show you about your church. And then we will be so excited for you to become a part of the church family here
at
Calvary
Lord.
Cathedral International. So that's tomorrow night. Be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall if you want to become a part of the Calvary church family. God bless you.
That's so very, very important. Thank you for it. Now let's just lift our hands and say, Lord, I ask your help. We can only do this through his help. Overflowing joy, no worry, and very thankful. Everything we're talking about today is important. Nothing is overshadowing anything else. Overwhelming joy. No worries. Very thankful. Father, we lift our voice to you right now, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. This is real, folks. I believe lives are going to be changed. You can have hands laid on you and hands laid on you, but you gotta believe. That change has to start in your heart. That change, Father, we just thank you that you're changing all of us. And we're all, thank God, we're all on our way to a new, to a new and higher plane of the things of God. Thank you, Father, for your hand that is upon our church for good. Thank you for blessing in every department.